It's better over here.
AT&T customers, switching to T-Mobile has never been easier. We'll pay off your existing phone and give you a new one free. All on America's largest 5G network. Visit T-Mobile.com/carrierfreedom to switch today.
Pay off up to $650 via virtual prepaid MasterCard in 15 days. Free phone up to $830 via 24 monthly bill credits plus tax. Qualifying port-in trade-in service on Go5G Next and credit required. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance and required finance agreement is due.
This is the secret story of a young Russian oligarch who hacked his way to a $93 million fortune. I'm CNBC senior Washington correspondent Eamon Javers. In our new podcast, The Crimes of Putin's Traitor, I'll take you inside a shocking Russian crime targeting the American financial system. Attacks that sources tell me were welcomed by Vladimir Putin's government. Listen to CNBC's The Crimes of Putin's Traitor free on the Odyssey app.
It's a football Friday, yes, but it's a baseball day here in this town. You have the Mets Game 5 NLCS at 5 o'clock. You get the Yankees trying to respond after their defeat yesterday. It'll be Game 4 in Cleveland later on tonight. As for the Mets, look, it was a disappointing game last night as it was in Game 3. They're down 3-1, but this is where this team has thrived all year long with their backs against the wall when everybody really truly felt and started to doubt any belief that they had. You know what? This is it. Well, that's when this team has responded. Today, for me, is not a day to bury the New York Mets. It's a day to enjoy what you have in front of us, and that is a Game 5 out at Citi Field. Whether you're going to it, whether you're watching it, enjoy it. Worry about what happens after the fact. But for now, until this team is dead, they've earned the right to keep belief in them that they could extend this series.
Sal, I agree with you. I can't prove it, but I can certainly say it, at least from my lifetime. And these aren't things you quantify. You just feel it or you see it, and then you say it. It's the most resilient team I've ever seen in the city. I really mean that. I mean, to get to the end of the Mets story, hopefully tonight's not the end. Could be, but hopefully it's not. But to write their story, you got to start at the beginning. And I don't mean to just rehash everything that we all know, but just think of some of the broad takes that were absolutely embraced by everybody. Strip it down, trade Pete. Now, not everybody was saying Lindor should ditch the left side. I said that, right. And I was wrong. But it was nuttiness, man. The Anthos wasn't on the team. Everything that we hit, right?
Don't have enough pitching.
Awful pitching. Well, yeah. It's to this point. I mean, to get from there to here, you've got to appreciate the guts, the inner guts. When you lift up the hood of the 2024 Mets, that engine's going to keep purring until it crashes or runs out of gas. And until they lose that fourth game, it's not out of gas.
Well, right. That's the thing. It's not even a day to be like, yeah, you know what? They've had a great run. No.
No, not today.
They're still in the series. What? No teams have ever come back from down 3-1? And the way that I would give, and it's not just blind faith or hope, it's A, that they've shown resiliency at their lowest. When we all thought it was over for them, whether it's the Milwaukee series, the regular series, whatever it may be, that's when they've been at their best. That's number one. Number two, they do have guys in the lineup that are capable of actually getting big hits because we've seen them do it. We haven't seen them do it this series nearly enough, but we've seen them do it. And then the last thing would be the way their pitching is lined up. Now, they screwed up by having Senga start game one, which means that they, again, are in a spot today where David Peterson has to start. But Peterson has been one of their better arms. He matches up well, you would think, in theory, with the Dodgers, being a lefty. So let's see what he can do to start this game. And then you're going to get their best, whether it's Stanek, whether it's Diaz for multiple innings. Like, they haven't used those guys in the last couple of games. So you're going to see them. Maybe Senga out of relief. Who knows, out of the pen, if he's going to be there. You hope that you don't see him, because that would mean Peterson has a longer start. But anyway, point is, you're going to get their best bullets tonight from their bullpen. And then Manaea is going in game six. Like, there are reasons to think, hey, if they could find a way to win, squeeze one out today, one last one at home, extend this series to L.A., have Manaea in game six against the Dodgers bullpen game, and then in game seven, anything can happen. It's not over yet. Enjoy being in the series.
I really agree with that. And I think that people are probably getting there a little more and more as the day goes on. Listen, I get it. These losses hurt, and the time that we invest, I mean, it's very rare where, even as the most passionate, best sports fans in the world, where our hearts this exposed, where we're this vulnerable. And Met fans right now are as vulnerable maybe as they'll ever be in their life because of the different wild fluctuations of emotion during this entire season. So you're going to think what you want to think. You're going to feel how you're going to eventually feel. But I did say this to Sal in the first hour. To me, the Dodgers, well, let me take a quick step back, and we'll get back to the phones here with BT and Sal. I'm watching the series through two prisms. I'm watching the Mets-Dodgers from a Mets perspective to do my job, which
right,
is fun.
Right.
But I'm also watching it from a scouting perspective to watch what I perceive and strongly believe, even with last night. And we'll get back to the Yankees after. My team's opponent in the World Series, right? Watching this, I see a machine when I watch the Dodgers. I see a team where I'm like, do the Yankees really have enough starting pitching to get through 1-6? And I don't know. And if they get there, we'll obviously attack that in a couple of days or whatever. But watching the Dodgers, I do know that they are a machine. And the only way you beat a machine is you have it malfunction, and they're too disciplined, and they're too good, and their IQ is too high for that to happen. That's not happening. The way you beat the machine is to overachieve a little bit. And unless we get back to what we always get back to with every team, unless the stars start carrying the mail, it's over.
I think that's the biggest thing. Dodgers
can you go yard tonight, man. Can you hit a 2-run missile? Put them up. Can you get some juice to the building?
Yeah.
Does it have to always be Vientos? The poor kid wasn't even on the team in April against the Milwaukee Brewers.
Lindor Vientos has been it. They've been carrying the mail, and they can't do it every game. They're going to need their stars, and their stars are Nimmo and Alonso as well to get the job done. Where we've seen the Dodgers stars get their job done. Now, as for the Yankees, BT, it is a series now. That was a tremendous game. I know Yankee fans don't want to hear how great the game was because of the result. They ended up on the wrong side of a historic baseball game yesterday. But Judge providing finally the moment that we've all been waiting to see. That's the spot you want. He comes up. The stage was set for their superstar to deliver, and he did off of the Guardians' best. Time the game. Stanton follows it up. Dramatic home run. So those are the good things. The bad things are Holmes and Weaver, or Weaver and Holmes in that order, the two guys who have been arguably the Yankees' most valuable players in the postseason, they gave it up. Series back on in the American League Championship Series.
Tough one. I'm not going to front. That was a tough one. Listen, the option, and you and I were hitting this at the top of the show as well when we got to right around 10:20, you know, okay, that is about as bad as it gets. Maybe the only other way that will be worse to lose a playoff game is to have a middle infielder drop the most routine pop-up. Like, I don't know how, you're like, oh, game's over, and then all of a sudden, boom, and then somebody scores and the game's over. Like, it just ends so abruptly, and it hurts, and it pisses you off, and it presents a different set of challenges for the Yankee fan where maybe the arrogance or already mentally, and I mean, we kid around. I don't think I'm necessarily arrogant. I have fun.
Right.
But I will say, in my mind, I was already in the World Series last night. Yeah. I was. I really was. I was there.
I know.
Now I got to take a step back.
That's what made yesterday a little enjoyable for your partner.
You. I get it. I got you. Now I got to take a little step back and understand that this could go a lot deeper than I want, although I still think that the Yankees advance. But it could have actually been worse. They could have lost that way, and Judge didn't deliver, and Stanton didn't deliver, and some of the components, which eventually, if they aren't there, the Yankees will not be able to win the World Series anyway. So even in a gut-wrenching, brutal, brutal defeat, Judge shining gives me reason to believe that it's still going to be 28.
You know I've been critical of the Yankees, and I think rightfully so. It's not just because I'm not a Yankee fan. It's because I haven't seen them be crisp, whether it's defensively, whether it is sometimes the starters being
base
inconsistent.
Running.
Yeah, the base running has been bad. You saw that again. The Yankees keep playing with fire, and at some point, I felt like they were going to get burned. And if not against the Guardians, who seem inferior to the Yankees, then certainly to the National League team that will be in the World Series that the Yankees would be facing. Well, yesterday you saw it, where even there were more signs to me, oddly enough, BT.
Go ahead.
There were more signs to me yesterday that said, geez, this Yankee team is ready.
Good signs.
Yes, I thought more good signs yesterday.
Huh.
Even Clark Schmidt didn't have the right
time. I agree with that. Go ahead, though.
I think specifically Judge. To me, Judge going, even early on with the Yankees with Trevino contributing with a base hit, but Judge having that moment, I don't want to say it unlocked him because Judge doesn't need to be unlocked. He's there, but like that should end any doubt about whether Aaron Judge could come up big in the postseason because you can't hit a bigger home run than against their best closer, who's been the best closer in the game, on the road, late in the game, down a couple.
Unless you do what Pete did against their best closer, if you don't hit that, the game's literally over.
Right, the season's over. Right, so it wasn't season on the line.
But it's up there.
But that's as big as a home run as you can possibly hit, and he delivered. So that, to me, showed a great sign. Now, the bad thing is that what's been such their... The Yankees' greatest strength this postseason has been their bullpen, specifically
without question.
Right, specifically specifically those two guys. So those guys blowing it.
And Canley's been very good, too.
Yeah,
Tyler Canley's been very good.
But specifically Holmes in high leverage spots, and obviously Weaver closing out these games, to me has been the difference maker for this team. So while you had the ultimate high with Judge producing in a clutch spot, as clutch as you could get, you had the low of, maybe Holmes and Weaver aren't unhittable or untouchable, and that could be a bad sign, because if those guys aren't, the Yankees are going to be... Look, I thought Cleveland played better. They did. Game four tonight, you got Luis Hill on the mound. This is now a spot off somewhere. The Yankees, you got to win this game. You can't let the series get even here.
You're giving the baseball to a young man who's got electric stuff, who's been on ice for a while. You don't really know what you get. And even when he was pitching at the end, he was a little bit loose and all over the map with his mechanics and command of the strike zone.
Rodon, game five on the road.
That's true, too. On the road, we know about the home-road splits. So that's the Yankee stuff with their starting pitcher tonight. Now, the Guardians have their own issues. They're Gavin Williams, 0-7 with a 6.55 ERA at home. So that aside, just very quickly, I'm still trying to – I don't know if I agree with you about – more good than bad. The good was amazing. And Judge, obviously, that's it. Without him, they're not winning anything. So that's great. But the base running was atrocious. You mentioned the bullpen, the first true malfunction by multiple arms. Rizzo's defense, again, and even Birdie, defense was not great.
Well, here's what I meant by
that. I actually think there was slightly more bad than good.
I didn't mean it literally more good than bad. I meant my feeling. Like, to me, the base running has been a constant, which is one of the reasons why I've been critical of the Yankees. Those things. The defense, bad defense at times, that's been a constant for the Yankees. Where Rizzo specifically, like first base, where you put Birdie out there, nobody expects anything of him because he's not a first baseman. You expect a little bit more Rizzo, but sloppy. And just in general, the Yankees and their defense has not been great. So those little things have been bothering me. Where what I meant to say more so was when Judge came up in that spot and delivered, it was the first time I felt this could be a World Series winning team.
Okay.
Like, it was okay. Okay, here we go.
Yeah.
This was a bridge that they needed to cross. He crossed it.
Mm-hmm.
And now maybe.
I got you.
Maybe this team has a little bit of either destiny or just. Like, it was a game that they were going to lose. They're down 3-1 late. Class A's in the game. That's a game that you probably lose 99 of 100 times.
Mm-hmm.
And yet Judge delivered. So at that moment, like, regardless of the sloppy defense or base running, I felt like, okay, now I see what maybe others are seeing, that this could be a World Series team. Then, of course, it fell apart with their pen, but that's what I meant.
I understand what you mean now. Listen, the bottom line is, and let's get back to these calls, but the bottom line is that Judge covers up some problems. Like, the Yankees aren't going to show up today and suddenly be this buttoned up, incredibly, they're not going to be the Cardinals of the early 80s running the bases. They're sloppy.
Right.
You know, so that they are inherently who they are, but when Judge is Judge, he obviously masks some deficiencies.
BT and Sal on the Fan, or friends of Town Fair Tire, remind you that at Town Fair Tire, you always get the guaranteed lowest price on name brand tires from Connecticut to Maine. Nobody beats Town Fair Tire. Nobody. Michael is in New Jersey. What's up, Michael?
Hey, what's up, BT and Sal? Love you guys. I got two things. I just wanted to thank you guys because I've been listening to you guys for the past few years, and I've never really been big on baseball. Never understood it. I thought it was boring, but listening to your guys' passion really made me get into it, so now I'm a baseball connoisseur. And I'm a Mets fan. I've been.
Oh, well, yeah, everything's great except picking the wrong team, but go ahead.
I enjoy it. I'm making great memories with my dad.
I got you.
I just don't really like what the Mets' strategy is to beat the Dodgers. I feel like they're waiting for the Dodgers to come to them to make mistakes like the Phillies and the Brewers did instead of attacking them. They're pitching around the zone, waiting for Dodgers to chase, and they're not going to. And the offense, they're chasing bad pitches and taking good ones. And they're not taking good ones. They get people on base, and they wait for a perfect pitch or a mistake that's not going to come. I feel like you just got to take the reins and attack the Dodgers. Even if you lose, I think that's a better way to go.
You got
to
go down swinging. Well, listen, I'll tell you this, Michael. First of all, thanks for the kind words. I mean, you know, me and Sal giving you a little passion for baseball. That's awesome. We love hearing that. Thank you.
That is a great call because you and I take pride in our baseball talk and passion.
And we love it.
And we've been doing it more so than maybe others or more than we were even encouraged to when we started together a year ago or whatever it was over a year ago.
That's true.
So we love hearing that.
I will say this, though. Like, kind of being more aggressive. It works. It sounds good in baseball. It just be more aggressive. Run the base. You need base runners to do those certain things. And it's not like football. Hey, let's blitz them. Let's try to force the end. Let's throw, you know, two or three downfield, take some big shots and try to get some gash plays. Like baseball, you can be aggressive. Scoring from first on a double, going from first to third, stealing some guys, putting guys in motion, hit and run. But you still need the proper components. You need somebody on base. You need somebody who can handle the stick. So it's easy to say for the Mets to be aggressive. I think it's tougher than he makes it out to be, though.
I would say that the Mets haven't been aggressive in their game plan, not their offensive approach or their pitching. Quintana is a guy who doesn't attack the strike zone.
He can't, Sal.
Because he can't.
Exactly. He'll get destroyed.
So what do you want him to do?
Yeah.
And as you saw last night, he's even doing what he could do. Doesn't have it. So I wouldn't say that their approach against the Dodgers has been wrong. But what I will say is that their planning, either pre-series or pre-game, has not been aggressive. Meaning that, BT, going into game one, it's not aggressive when you don't start your best pitcher in Manaea. I don't care
Got
about
it.
What their excuses were.
Okay.
It wasn't aggressive because Manaea should have pitched game one and he should be pitching today in game five. So they were a little passive in that regard, hoping to maybe steal one of two.
Yep.
They also were passive in game three with not using the better bullpen arms. And instead of being aggressive, saying, hey, let's go to our best guys here and keep this 2-0 or 4-0, you go to Reed Garrett. Then it quickly, 2-0 goes to 4-0. So they weren't aggressive in that. Also, the Mets are getting guys on base. They're just not getting a big hit.
So if I'm hearing you right, I think that I am. You're less about the minutia within the game and more about like how they've attacked it from a bigger macro level.
Yes.
Okay, and I agree, but I think you left one thing out.
Yeah.
They've got to be more forward-thinking and aggressive with the lineup that they put out there today.
That's a great...
They have to.
Excellent point. You and I discussed it. You and I discussed it yesterday. We're not making the lineup. We're not in the front office. We didn't go to the Ivy League schools. We're not the manager. You and I discussed the lineup change yesterday. This team needed that. And again, you're right. They were passive in that regard as well. Right now on the line, we have the host of You Better, You Bet, and Odyssey Sports Betting Insider, Nick Costos. Insider calls are presented by BetMGM. Go check out all the latest lines today on the BetMGM app. Also, be sure to listen to the You Better, You Bet podcast. For more analysis, just search You Better, You Bet wherever you find your podcast. Before we get to your Yankees, Nick, and some football, I've got a bone to pick with you, bro.
Oh, can't wait to hear this.
Dude.
Like, it wasn't bad enough that the Yankees got our junk kicked in last night. Now you have a bone to pick with me.
Yes, I do. I do, because I trust your opinion a lot, and I value it, and I still do, but you were the person who kept telling me that the Dodgers had no pitching, and yet the Dodgers are shutting down the Mets offense. What the hell's going on here?
I don't know. Maybe your team's not that good.
Nick, how old? Nick, why could the Mets beat the Dodgers? Dodgers have no pitching.
I mean, Sal, I don't know what you want me to tell you. Like, no one's going to bat 1,000 doing this, like, trying to give predictions.
No, I am not. I'm not getting on you for a bad prediction.
But it sounds like it.
No, not that. I don't mean to do
BT
that.
BT kind of sounds like it a little bit, and that's okay.
I don't think that's his intention, but it does sound like
it. I legit am curious as to how you and many others, you weren't alone, but you were the first person to say it. Are we just wrong about the Dodgers pitching, or is this the Mets offense?
I think it's probably the Mets offense. And look, I identified, and I'm not the only one that did this, right? I'm not trying to paint myself as like I'm Billy Walters, like the best gambler ever. But going into the postseason, I think it's pretty easy to identify, like, everyone liked the Padres in that series against the Dodgers. Now, everyone was wrong, right? We were all wrong about that. And then I think a lot of people liked the Mets. It had less to do with the Padres and less to do with the Mets and more taking a shot at the Dodgers, who do not have the statistical pitching profile of a team that generally wins the World Series.
Right.
Now, that doesn't mean they can't do it. I would say they're the favorite right now to win the World Series, right? Up 3-1. The Yankees run the bases like little leaguers.
Yeah.
I mean, they're probably the favorite. Like, trends get bucked. This sort of thing happens. But look, it's sports betting, right? Like, it's never I have the answer. It's I think this is probably what the answer is. I thought it was that the Mets were going to beat the Dodgers. By the way, series isn't over yet. Probably is.
What's the price now at down 3-1?
Oh, God, I don't
plus know. Plus 5? It's got to be plus 5, right?
You gotta be. Come on, you got to double or triple down at this point, Nick. If your theory was that you backed the Mets because of a team of destiny and the Dodgers don't have enough pitching, it still is only 3-1, and technically, like, there is a path for the Mets to come back in this series.
Okay, so, that's fan stuff, and, like, that is not said derisively. So the difference between being a fan and being a bettor, right, is you have to answer this question. So Sal Licata, I'll ask you. The Mets, I felt, had big team of destiny vibes. I like them to win the series. They can win the next three games. Would you bet on it?
Well, it depends on the price. I mean, if I'm getting a good value, but I get your point.
Plus 950.
Yeah, I think it's worth the flyer.
It's plus 950 now?
Don't you think
it's worth the flyer? I might have to take a little flyer here.
I'll give you a C note.
And I'll tell you what, BT,
we'll talk about, I don't know, man. I feel like this is with these New York teams, this is the sports equivalent of Brokeback Mountain. I can't quit these teams. I'm betting the Mets tonight.
Yes, there you go.
I put that bet in this morning. Okay. I'm way in on the Mets today in this game.
Very interesting.
No way the Mets lose. Well, I shouldn't say that.
I can't say no way.
Also, in case people are interested, the under is getting bet. The total in the game is 7.5. It's now juiced towards the under. We may come down to 7 here. I mean, obviously, it's a kitchen sink game for the Mets. And I think that you're going to see Mendoza with a quick hook for Peterson. If he struggles, there's no tomorrow.
Right.
Got to win this game. And Flaherty has been excellent. Much better than I expected. I was wrong about him also.
Mm-hmm.
I like the under in the game a little bit as well. I do think the Mets take it back to Los Angeles.
Okay, that will be fun. I know you're not worried. Bothered, probably. Worried, no. Nobody should be worried about the Yankees.
We shouldn't.
I'm not worried, are you?
Of course I am.
Dude, you got to get tougher, man.
Okay, maybe.
What the hell's wrong with you?
I don't know, man. We've been getting our junk kicked in for 15 years. Same thing every October. We should win. And you know what? Piss off everyone. I'm going to say we. We should win this game tonight. We should still win the series. The Yankees. Gavin Williams is starting tonight. Rather, Gavin Newsom pitching, the guy from Bush. good singer. Who am I thinking of? Gavin.
You're
Rossdale?
Gavin from, I got
you.
Yeah,
whatever. Hand up. I've been losing money and watching my team lose games. That's my bad here. Not meant to be a political commentary.
I got you.
The Yankees should win this game tonight. But BT, again, it's like a betting thing. The way the game ended last night and the fact that the Guardians unquestionably now have the momentum, I don't know if I want to bet Luis Gil. He hasn't pitched in 3 weeks since September 28th. Now, gun to my head, pick the winner of the game to save my life. I'll take the Yankees, but I'm not going to bet the Yankees tonight. I'm going to watch and hope for the best and hope that they win this game. Because if they lose, I know Rodon was good in the first start. Mm-hmm. Now it's Rodon
no,
on the road.
The
I don't want to do
the second
this.
Oh, you mean of this series? Yeah,
of
keep going.
Series,
gotcha.
Correct.
Yep.
I'm just I think they're gonna win.
It's a big one.
But it's a big one. I love you, man. I admire. And I wish I had your optimism. I don't know how you can say, why would we be worried?
Yeah, I am pretty confident for a lot of these teams that never deliver anything anymore.
Yeah,
what the hell's wrong with me?
That's on you.
Maybe it's false bravado at this point. I don't know. I'll tell you what you should bet tonight. Again, because laying a ton on the Yankees with with how it ended could be a little risky. I kind of like the over, and I don't even know what it is. I'm guessing
7.5.
Oh, it is 7.5. Okay. I mean, you look at, Heald could walk a lot of guys. Guardians getting a little momentum in the box. That's one aspect. Gavin Williams, who you mentioned before, oddly, his home numbers are awful. The ZRA is almost 7. Righty hitters with an OPS of over 800, so you probably stack it that way if you're Boone, to an extent, maybe. I think that this could be a 7-6 kind of a game. I think we get offense both sides.
Well, I think there will be a quick hook tonight for Luis Gil.
It has to be, of course.
Absolutely. So even if he starts with the walks, I don't think he's going to be long for this game.
Yep.
I will say that one of the reasons why Yankee fans, and you're probably right, that I'm just a pessimistic Yankees fan at this point, but there should still be optimism, is because Judge is getting hot, and Stanton's obviously been hot, and if Judge starts to go nuclear, the Yankees are going to win the American League pennant, and you just hope that that carries into tonight, and if people want to, and I'm just bringing it up right now, just to give the price, Aaron Judge to hit a home run tonight is plus 290, after he obviously hit the homer off of Class A last night, so if people are into that bet, I think that's a pretty good look.
What was it yesterday? Just to compare,
it was about the same price.
Okay.
And Stanton to homer is plus 360 tonight for the Yankees, and he's obviously been red hot this entire postseason. So I'm not going to bet the game. I will watch and I will root for the Yankees and hope for the best.
BT and Sal, we're talking with Nick Costos. How about some football here, Nick? Where are you at with your Giants? They get Neighbors back, but no Thomas. Can they finally beat the Philadelphia Eagles in a game that actually matters?
Yeah, I think that they can. Huge news, 20 minutes ago, Brian Burns and Dexter Lawrence, Brian Daboll, told the media, we don't have a practice report yet today for the Giants, but Daboll told the media that both guys will practice today.
Okay, good. I did not even see that.
Wow, so it literally just came out a little while ago, and I always look right before I come on with you guys to have the info. So Burns and Dexter Lawrence, who's infant Aaron Donald, just out of respect to Aaron Donald, who may be like the best defensive player. Dexter Lawrence is tremendous, obviously. Like, if those guys weren't going to play, I was going to come on here and say, like, you can't bet the Giants. But if they are both going to play, and if they practice on Friday, I think that means they're going to play. Mm-hmm. And Neighbors is going to be back.
Yep.
Right? Even without Andrew Thomas, like, Eagles also without their left tackle, Jordan, my doctor said Mailata. I like the Giants in this game, and I'll say this about the coaching matchup here, and I'm not the world's biggest Brian Daboll fan, obviously, but the Giants unquestionably have the better head coach in this game than, like, the NFL's Britney Spears, who buzzed all his hair off during the bye week like a crazy person and jawing with fans like a moron, Nick Sirianni. Yeah. So, plus three, I'm way in on the Giants. Bet them plus 3.5 earlier in the week. Like, Giants have the coaching edge here. I think that matters. I bet the Giants on Sunday.
I love it. All right, so you obviously want the Giants to win. You want to make a little scratch on the side. How do you, as a longtime Giants fan, who, and I'm sure you loved Saquon, you know, if the Giants are up big and he scores deep down, are you happy if the Giants are like, the Saquon's, it's an interesting emotional angle aside from the betting. How do you deal with that?
I'll say this about Saquon Barkley. I think that the fans that are upset with Saquon, that he left to leave for the Philadelphia Eagles, like, you're all dumb.
Jeez.
And I'm going to tell you why. I'm sorry. It's true. Because everyone's like, oh, how could you do this? Like, who cares? Like, if you had a job and then someone else offered you more money, like, you would go take the money. It's like, done. Like, I love working for Odyssey. If someone else offered me more money on the free agent market, peace. Like, see ya. Like, who wouldn't do that?
Well.
So Saquon did what's best for Saquon. Like, that's just that. And I can't hate on him for that. I'd do the same thing.
Yep.
Now, I'll also say this about Saquon Barkley. And I think Giants fans need to consider this. It's not his fault that idiot general manager Dave Gettleman took him with the second overall pick in the draft. Like, one of the worst draft picks ever. I said it at the time. I had dumb Giants fans. I still think that was a good pick to take Saquon Barkley second overall and not even consider a trade down when, like, Josh Allen was available potentially to be drafted. Mm. Like, insane. Like, Saquon's a running back. He can only do so much. It's not his fault that the team stunk around him. He's a good player. He plays a not important position. So all the vitriol about Saquon Barkley to me is ridiculous. Like, he's a running back. Like, you know how much running backs matter? Devin Singletary gets hurt. The fifth round rookie out of Purdue comes in and is better immediately in Tyrone Tracy, Dick's grandson. So, yeah, I think the vitriol's stupid, and I don't, like, Saquon can score, and I'm not going to lose sleep over it.
Before we move on to the Jets here, Nick, I got to get back to your line, because I was dying when you said this on your show. I saw the clip on social media calling Sirianni the NFL's Britney Spears, and you go, oops, he did it again. Oh, dude, that was brilliant. He is. I mean, you look at Sirianni, he's a doofus. He's shaving his head. He's yelling. How can anybody? The Eagles are going the wrong way. They might be toast, and the Giants might be able to put the fork in them on Sunday.
So if the Eagles, I'll go back to week three. So when the Eagles, and they had a great win, this was when the Saints were rolling a little bit before everyone got hurt. They've lost five straight. Eagles went to New Orleans in week three off of the Monday night collapse against the Atlanta Falcons. And the report came out post-game that at halftime, Nick Sirianni was telling the team, like, the season's not over yet. This isn't college football. Like, this is the mark of a desperate man who says things like that, who said in the offseason, I'm not going to, like, overstep my bounds and make play calls. He did in that game at the end of the first half with the fake tush push that got stopped when he should have settled for three, and a low scoring game with the Eagles and the Saints. Everything that he does, everything that he says, like, shows that he is a man that knows that his seat is exceptionally hot. And I am not reporting anything here. This is not a report. Like, don't be surprised if Bill Belichick is on line one for Howie Roseman at some point if the wheels come off here for the Philadelphia Eagles.
Any betting odds on Belichick to the Eagles yet?
I don't think, and if there were, like, you'd be able to move the market with, like, $50. It's, like,
yeah,
it wouldn't be an efficient market.
Gotcha, okay.
So, yeah.
Understood. All right, so, Nick, Jets, how are you attacking them from a betting perspective this weekend?
Oh, man, this is like the Brokeback Mountain thing with the Mets. Like, I can't quit them. I love the Jets on Sunday night. And at some point, like, I'm the idiot. Maybe that's just what it is. Monday night was 3 hours of agony with the Jets bet against the Buffalo Bills. Zerline's still kicking, right?
Yes.
Money Movers provides investors with real-time analysis of the stories and the people attracting the attention of markets each day. I'm Carl Quintanilla.
And I'm Sarah Eisen. We'll cover the breaking news and numbers driving stocks and sectors, helping you make critical decisions. Plus, we'll speak with the CEOs, newsmakers, and political leaders playing a role in how your money is moving.
Listen to CNBC's Money Movers free on the Odyssey app.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Alo, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not-so-secret secret, with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Alo, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
If your day sounds like...
We need the report ASAP.
You deserve Modelo. If you've persevered through, you deserve this rich golden lager with a crisp but refreshing taste. Or if you overcame,
two more.
You deserve this ice cold reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
It's better over here.
Now at T-Mobile, get four 5G phones on us and four lines for $25 a line per month when you switch with eligible trade-ins. All on America's largest 5G network.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto-pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto-pay, plus taxes and fees and $10 device connection charge. Phones via 24 monthly bill credits for well-qualified customers. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on a required finance agreement due. Bill credits end if you pay off devices early. See T-Mobile.com.
How is he still on the roster is what I want to know. I guess, how is that possible? Okay. As I'm sure everyone knows, the Jets have, you know, throw out the Monday night loss week one to the Niners. Three losses by 10 points. If the curtain jerking jabroni slap kicker makes a couple kicks, they're 4-2, right? Things could be way different here. Now you have Devontae Adams. He definitely matters. But the hamstrings magically heal. How funny is that? Now he's a Jet and the hamstrings better. The offense should be awesome. Now maybe not with TJ Watt rushing the passer, but this offense should actually, like, the offense should be really good. Devontae, Garrett Wilson, Alan Lazard is a hell of a three receiver set. Mm-hmm. And Todd Downing, definitely better than Nathaniel Hackett. Got Breece Hall going. Russell Wilson's going to start this game for the Pittsburgh Steelers. Russell Wilson is horrible. Like, we saw him the last couple years. Like, they're going to try and manage this, obviously. He's going to attempt like 18 passes in the game, with the MO being don't turn the football over. And maybe the game ends and the Steelers win the turnover battle and they just win by three because they're the Steelers and the Jets are the Jets. But I'm willing to take at least one more ride here.
All right.
They're better than Pittsburgh. Like, I want to say that there's no excuse for them to lose these games, but there's no excuse for them to lose a lot of these games. I love the Jets on Sunday night to beat the Pittsburgh Steelers.
Attaboy, Nick.
Even with the coaching advantage clearly being with Pittsburgh and that defensive line, you mentioned it, like, it's hard for me, Nick, to ignore that the Jets' offensive line hasn't been good. Rodgers has been taking a beating, and now he's going to face maybe his toughest challenge with that Pittsburgh defense.
Yeah, like, you could be right. Like, the spread's 1.5. It's like a really close game. Again, I will just default to... The Steelers have a better head coach. Like, I don't know if Arthur Smith's a great offensive coordinator. Tomlin's a better head coach than we think, by the way, than Ulbrich. Ulbrich's only one game into his tenure. Tomlin's probably better, to be fair. Like, the Jets, 1-53, are definitely better than the Steelers. Like, the game is pick the winner of the game. Desperate spot for the Jets. I don't even know if that really matters, but it sounds good. I'll take the Jets. And listen, may God have mercy on my soul. And hopefully this won't be like another agonizing New York sports experience on Sunday night.
Thank you, Nick. Appreciate it as always.
Yeah, attaboy. Yeah. Rallying me a little bit here, Nick. Thank you.
Wishing everyone minimal sweats, winning bets. The absolute very best of luck. And just, I just... please, like Yankees, please don't do this.
We're good.
Please.
Stop. Stop projecting that negative Nelly stuff.
Come
I don't
on.
Want to hear it.
Yesterday
come on,
was
dude.
An all-time
toughen
game.
Toughen up, Nick.
Just enjoy the game. Yesterday was an all-time game.
Sal.
I mean, it was an all-time baseball game, Nick.
Sal, if your team lost that game, you wouldn't be like, oh, what a great sporting event.
Oh, I thought it was a tremendous game.
Dude, he gets unhinged when the Temptations are merely trying to play a song. Last night, he probably would have jumped off the bridge.
The one thing the Mets have done is been on the right side of those type games, at least this postseason. Yanks had their chance and came up short yesterday.
I'd rather lose 10-0 like the Mets did than lose like the Yankees did last night.
We talked about that. The one difference, though, is Judge had his moment, and that should click him in the rest of the way. But otherwise, I don't disagree.
Well, this year, normally I love the holiday season. This year I want to cancel Christmas after last night.
Thank you, Nick.
See you, buddy.
That was the host of You Better, You Bet, and Odyssey Sports Betting Insider, Nick Costos. Insider calls are presented by BetMGM. Go check out all the latest lines today on the BetMGM app. We'll have our picks coming up. 120, the perfect parlay pick segment. We've been hot this year. Look to keep that going heading into week 6. Mets game 5 tonight. All you can hope for is just give me another game. I remember yelling that one year where I was watching, just trying to eat a protein bar. I didn't know we'd come back from break that soon. I think I need some more water.
You need a little time? Do we need some water? Are you okay?
Trying to eat. No, I'm all right. So I remember yelling that one time. I was out with my friends watching the Falcons postseason game. This is years ago. I was yelling, all right. I want another game next week. All you could ask for at this point with the Mets is give us another game. Just extend it. Forget about winning the series. Forget about the World Series. Win today, give us another game on Sunday night. And I think that's where I'm at right now, where instead of looking at, oh, it's a great season or this or that, just one game at a time. It's weird for a fan to say that or think that. I think in this particular case, that's where you have to be. One game at a time, get a win today, get us to Sunday.
You can't win two before you win one.
Yeah.
You know, and let's face it, if this guy stays hot, it's going to be very tough to even win one.
2-0, here's the pitch. Betts clucks one down the left field line. That's a base hit. He really turned on that one. Taylor turns around third. He heads home to score. Ohtani rounding third. He's heading home. The cutoff throw. There will be no throw. It's eaten by Lindor in left. Mookie Betts at second, shaking his hips.
Yeah, it's one thing to have to deal with Ohtani, but Betts has been getting loose. NLCS moment brought to you by Chopra and Nocerino. The NLCS moment, of course, as I said, the exclusive personal injury law firm of the New York Mets.
And we talked about it. The Dodgers stars have been raking. They've been producing. Now, we all know that the Dodgers stars are better than the Mets stars. Like, not just pound for pound, Ohtani, Lindor. Like, Lindor and Vientos have been. Lindor's been an MVP. Vientos is a budgeting star. But when you go for, start to go down that lineup, the Mets need Alonso specifically and Nimmo to produce, and they're not. And that's the issue here. That's been the Mets' biggest problem. Lawrence is in Oklahoma City. What's up, Lawrence?
Hey, guys. How are you?
Hey.
I hope you're having a good one.
You too, Lawrence.
Yeah, I'm a little worried about Nimmo with the way he's been looking with his foot. And, I'm just dying to see McNeil in the lineup. And, how can we mix up the lineup tonight to give us a little bit of pop? You know what I'm saying?
Well, I wonder if we get the lineup before we get off the air, by the way. And thank you for the call, Lawrence. Appreciate checking in.
We will.
It's 5 o'clock. 5:08 start. You would think we'd get it at some point soon. Now, they already said that they're going to go lefty heavy. Mm-hmm. Now, what does that mean, lefty heavy? Does it mean that
Winker and McNeil are starting?
Okay, but how do you do that with keeping Nimmo in the lineup? Are you benching Iglesias?
I wouldn't.
Right.
I
so then
you disagree at this
so then
point.
How do you get McNeil?
4, 5, 6, 7.
Yeah. How do you get
let's do it.
How do you get McNeil in the lineup? Like the way that we were talking about before, McNeil could play left.
Lindor, short. Like you're going to DH Winker? Yeah, Winker's going to be a DH. He's not playing the outfield.
Okay, but then it means, then in that scenario.
Put McNeil in right and sit Marte.
Yeah, I don't think you can take Marte out of the lineup.
I mean, it's not like he's raking. It's not.
I'd rather take Iglesias out than Marte. Dude, Iglesias is done. Come on.
And what, put Jeff at second?
Yeah. It's either Jeff at second or in the corner outfield, right?
Yeah.
Okay, so if Winker's DH, then you don't have the luxury of the DH with that. Winker's in a DH.
Who would I rather play, Iglesias or Marte?
Because the other thought was maybe have Nimmo DH, put McNeil in left, but then no Winker.
I think Winker's got to play.
Okay, so there you go. So, and if Winker's in, could, I mean, he could technically play the outfield too. Could you have?
I think he's DH, though. I don't think he's playing the outfield today.
Okay, fine. So
I
then,
do.
Then Winker DH.
Yep.
Then how are you getting McNeil in? It's either second base or left field. You're not taking Nimmo out for McNeil. If Winker's DHing, the only option is Iglesias out.
Yeah, I'm actually going through this. All right, so I'm going to write the whole thing out. All right, so you got Pete at first.
Yeah.
You got Lindor at short. You got Vientos in third. Yeah. You can mess around and DH him, but I'm not going to. Vientos in third.
Well, you're not going to do that, especially because you want to get Winker in the lineup.
Correct.
If you do have Winker in the outfield, it's because you want to give Nimmo a breather and just have him DH.
Yep. Winker's going to DH for me, though. I'm going to keep Nimmo out of respect. He's hobbling, but I don't think they're going to sit him.
Right.
So I'm going to keep him in left.
Yep.
I'm going to sit Marte. I'm going to play McNeil. And I'm going to go with Taylor in center.
Yeah.
So I've got around the horn Pete, and I'm going to stick with Iglesias. Pete, Iglesias, Lindor, Vientos around the horn. Winker's my DH. Alvarez behind the plate. Left to right, Nimmo, Taylor, McNeil.
I would go Taylor in center, yep. Nimmo in left. I'm going Marte in right. If you want to get the lefties in, then I would go McNeil at second and sit Iglesias. I am not sitting Starling Marte.
And DH Winker. Like me?
Yeah.
All right. Yeah, I can see that. I'm going to stick with my version.
I don't know why they've been DHing Martinez. He stinks. He's
really
washed up.
I don't know.
I'm not trying to pick on the guy, but come on. You watch him. He can't do anything.
Well, the other thing that I don't
get. He's
been
dead for half the season.
I know. He was 0 for 41 or 0 for 39. I get why they're doing it because he has been a very good professional hitter. But come on, Smoltz, lay off the hyperbole here. I mean, every time Martinez digs in, one of the great hitters of his generation.
Yeah.
And you talk about him like he's like he's Manny Ramirez or like a Miguel Cabrera. And he's good. He's had a good career. He's a cut below. I feel like every time he's up, Smoltz is just throwing the platitudes a little bit much.
I would give him a little more maybe than your guy. Dude,
really?
I do think at one point, I mean, I'm not saying he's Manny Ramirez or A-Rod, but he was a terrific offensive player for a long time.
I know,
but he's not now.
Look at this. True, he's not now, which is really all that matters.
Yeah, it's all that matters. Yeah. And not only is he not a terrific offensive player, he's not even a good offensive player.
And he can't run. That's the other problem.
Yes. Oh, so he draws a walk. Great. Like, the Mets have been good at getting on base. By the way, yesterday they had 10 hits.
I know.
The Dodgers had 12. The Mets had 10 hits, and they scored two runs. They can't cash the big one. Lindor has a couple of base hits, can't get the big one. Nimmo, a couple of base hits, can't get the big one. Pete's taking walks. Like, no offense, Alonso's not here to walk. He's here to hit. Swing the bat. Hit a home run. J.D. Martinez is not supposed to be walking. He's supposed to be hitting with power. He doesn't have it anymore.
What do you think his career average is, J.D. Martinez?
275.
Actually, a little better. 283.
Okay.
OPS 860. Strong.
Good
strong.
Player, man.
Yeah, I mean, I guess I didn't quite realize, like, that year in Detroit, that year in Arizona, and in Boston. I didn't realize the OPS was over 1,000. I thought it was, like, more 920, 930. Yeah. All right. I mean, I still don't look him like Manny, neither do you, or those guys, like,
but
those old
guys
times.
Also juiced up.
I just think Smoltz is laying it on a little thick, but I guess I'm not going
to
play
and
that
And by
much.
The way, laying it on thick, but in comparison to where we are now, like, he shouldn't be in the lineup. End of story. All due respect. All right, BT and Sal on the Fan, we'll come back. We'll continue with your calls, 888-808-1019. We'll get to football as well.
Yes, we will. Make those picks. As a show, we are hot. We've been handing you guys some winners, so hopefully
both
they keep coming. That's why I said we. Look, all right, I got you.
Hey, come on.
Said we. What do you want me to say? Me and Sal. And by the way, Hoff's done pretty well,
Hoff was close. He lost by like a half point.
But he won 1 week. He's even carrying his weight.
It's better over here.
Now at T-Mobile, get 4 5G phones on us and 4 lines for $25 a line per month when you switch with eligible trade-ins. All on America's largest 5G network.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees and $10 device connection charge. Phones via 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. Bill credits end if you pay off devices early. See T-Mobile.com.
This is the secret story of a young Russian oligarch who hacked his way to a $93 million fortune. I'm CNBC's senior Washington correspondent Eamon Javers. In our new podcast, The Crimes of Putin's Traitor, I'll take you inside a shocking Russian crime targeting the American financial system. Attacks that sources tell me were welcomed by Vladimir Putin's government. Listen to CNBC's The Crimes of Putin's Traitor free on the Odyssey app.